was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Now, the Walter Sterling Trauma presents secret conversations of the affiliate sales team that is pushing this show onto great radio stations.
Well, what are the key benefits of Sterling on Sunday for affiliate stations?
Well, the show is live. Everything else on Sunday is pre-recorded or best ofs, which are really worst ofs.
What are the other benefits of Sterling on Sunday for affiliate stations?
It's not an infomercial for Swampland in Florida.
What are the other benefits of Sterling on Sunday for affiliate stations?
I know Walter Sterling is alive.
Yes, the show is live, and Sterling is alive. Pow, fantastic, he's alive. That will sell every station to take the show. Walter Sterling is actually alive.
Are all the grown-ups in bed now? Have all the grown-ups stopped shouting about the Democrats crossing the aisle? Oh, my God. When are they going to learn? That's going to drive you and keep you in a one-share, buddy. This is the only hope you've got. Coming up tonight, we will keep you up to date on the murders in Texas. 27 people killed in church. Plus, the nightmare of the worst roads in the U.S. This is road pornography time. If you're on the Dan Ryan right now, you're alone. There's nobody there. If you're on the Outer Belt in Washington, there's nobody there. If you're going up 95 from Washington to Boston, there's nobody there. This is road pornography time. But there are the worst roads in the U.S. There's a top 10 list of the worst roads in the U.S., and I want to know which roads you think are the worst. 888-688-WALT. Plus, your vote encouraged. Call now. And I demand answers from a produce manager. Plus, I'm underrated on social media. Secrets revealed. And my encounter, my personal encounter with radio legend Bob Surratt. And you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And now, live from Australia, oh my gosh, it worked. We can answer your questions about lesbian weddings with Tara Baker, who has created the most stunning magazine and the most beautiful website I have seen in years. Tara Baker is the founder and editor of Dancing with Her. Hey, Tara, hi.
Hello.
Tara, I am so impressed with this. The website is dancingwithher.com, dancingwithher.com. It's on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page. This is a magnificent website. This is not only a celebration of gay marriages and lesbianism, but it's a celebration of weddings. And I congratulate you on two things. One is you represent the community in such a way that should give you every darn award. And two, congratulations on starting a business. There's nothing harder.
Thank you. It's been a very short road, but it's been a long steeping, long learning curve for us as well. So it's been really exciting for us the last 12 months or so.
Now, I'm going to ask you some cultural things in the spirit of, I think this is great. And here are some of the cultural things. It is always the impression of us damn Americans that the Australian culture is a little more macho, and a little bit behind the curve in many ways. How has the acceptance been of your publication?
I think you're right. We are a little bit behind the curve. I mean, we don't even have same-sex marriage legal in Australia at the moment. It has been really well received. There are a lot of people out there that are advocating for same-sex marriage. So I guess a lot of those people are really excited by what we're doing, and it is a little bit, I guess, progressive in terms of what we are showing and what we are sharing. But I think that it's something that's also really needed at the moment.
There's nothing lascivious about this publication. The thing that struck me about it is this is as slick and professional as a publication for any community. It makes me want to be a lesbian. It makes me want to embrace lesbianism in all of its glory, because the photographs and the stories on Dancing with Her are just magnificent, Tara, and I congratulate you for that. At first I looked and went, lesbian weddings, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful and so spiritual, and I thank you for it. I thank you for Dancing with Her. So I have some logistic questions for you. In a heterosexual wedding, a man-woman wedding, we all know and have suffered with the reality of which person's mom is in charge. The woman's mom is in charge. In a wedding with two women, how is it decided which mom is in charge?
So a lot of the weddings that we share are actually built and created by the women themselves. And I think we're moving away from that notion that the parents, I guess, have this big part in the wedding. I think we're moving away from that, and we're moving into a celebration between two people that those two people have an impact on, and they create that for everybody else.
Now, Tara Baker, also in a traditional heterosexual wedding, the bride's father or the bride's family pays for the wedding. In a lesbian wedding, who pays for the wedding?
In most of the weddings that we've put together, it is either a combination of each of the families or it's the women themselves. I mean, my partner and I are planning our wedding at the moment, and we're paying for everything ourselves.
In Australia, what's the average price of a nice wedding, a 100-person wedding? What would the average price be all in?
Look, it really depends. It can go anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 upwards easily, I think.
Have you had any stories, any problems, where the dad, one of their dads, refuses to go, refuses to acknowledge the union? Is that still an issue?
Absolutely. There are a lot of couples that still get married whose families don't agree with the union that they're sharing, and they unfortunately don't go to these weddings. That's still a reality for a lot of people around the world, not just in Australia. So I guess we hope that we can create something that, you know, those parents can maybe have a little search online themselves and see that really at the end of the day, all we're celebrating is love. It's not about anything else.
With you and your partner, Tara Baker, who's in Australia right now and speaking to us through the miracle of telephony, she is the creator and editor of Dancing With Her. Please go look at this website, dancingwithher.com. As I mentioned, it is a magnificent celebration of lesbian weddings. When I first went to look at it, I went, oh, it'd be great, I'll get to see like lesbians kissing, there's never anything wrong with that. But then as I'm looking at it, it's like, oh my God, this is beautiful, and it's spiritual, and it's grand, and I congratulate you on creating this. And what a great place for advertisers. How has been the acceptance of advertisers to dancingwithher.com?
Thank you.
How has the acceptance been? How has the advertising community responded to you?
Everyone is really excited. So Dancing With Her is really the only publication like it anywhere in the world. There are a few different publications that celebrate LGBT weddings, but ours specifically focuses on women in love, which is a community that's been really hard to reach for advertisers. So we sort of opened that up and we're able to share that, and that's really exciting. So we've sort of opening up advertising to people across the world, because we sort of found that Australia wasn't the only market. There are women everywhere who want this sort of publication and are looking for inspiration in their own wedding planning.
Now, I noticed on Dancing With Her that there's a section for Australian suppliers and a section for U.S. suppliers.
That's right.
I noticed that the U.S. supplier doesn't have a bakery yet. It doesn't have a cake supplier yet. And the reason I'm asking about that is, you know, there was some jerk business in the U.S. that refused to bake cakes for gay weddings. Mm-hmm. Has that been a problem in Australia?
We do. It does happen. People don't... It does happen. You know, there are still vendors that are refusing to marry people of the same sex. There are also vendors who you might contact and then never hear anything back. And that's really disappointing. So I guess by showcasing the vendors in our directory, you know, these are vendors that are really supportive of our community. And I think that for women who are planning a wedding, if they try and book a venue, for example, and they get knocked back or they're not responded to, I think that's probably one of the worst things that you could experience. And I think that it's really nice that we can share these vendors who are supportive of relationships, and they're not going to come across those issues, and they're not going to come across a lot of the heteronormative language and media that happens in the wedding community. So I think that's exciting for us, yeah.
What was that phrase you just used? What was that big word you just used?
Heteronormative.
Heteronormative.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've never heard before. What does that mean?
So that just means that the norm is for men and women to marry. So it's quite heteronormative in that the language that people use in weddings is traditionally bride and groom, and they don't really stray away from that. And the same as images that are used. They're generally a man and a woman, and it's not very diverse in that sense. So we're trying to break that down, and we work with vendors to work towards breaking that down with themselves as well. I guess a lot of vendors are quite uneducated when it comes to what language that they need to use and how they are inclusive and how they show that to the community.
DancingWithHer.com is the name of the lesbian wedding celebration website, and I'm talking to Tara Baker, who is live in Australia, about this amazing business that she has started that celebrates and helps bring together the vendors and the supplies and the things that are necessary for a lesbian wedding. But it does something else. The way this website is put together, Dancing With Her, makes it okay, makes it culturally acceptable and embraceable that somebody is gay and having a wedding. Now, I have had the privilege of being to weddings of two men, to gay weddings, and I have to tell you that the food is much better than any heterosexual, and the decor is much better. And that may seem stereotypical, it may be, but the fact is the decor was better and the food was better. Now, this is a tough spot for you. You've been to gay weddings of two men?
I haven't, no. I haven't had that opportunity yet.
good, because I was going to ask you the worst question in the world, which was who has better food, gays or lesbians? But now you don't have to answer that. Okay, one more question for Tara Baker, who's live in Australia on Sterling on Sunday. Here's your question. Who decides? I noticed some of the photos, the couple, one member of the couple has a tuxedo and the other has a gown. In some, they both wear a gown. By the way, in none do they both wear a tuxedo. Who gets to decide who wears the gown? How does that work?
We always just say you wear what you're comfortable in. If you're comfortable in a suit, then you wear the suit. If you're comfortable in dress, you wear a dress. If you're comfortable, I guess in our magazine, we also share people that a beautiful jumpsuit. So something completely different to what is traditional in a suit and a dress. So it's whatever you're comfortable in.
But have you seen them fight? Have you seen couples fight over who wears the gown?
No. If they both want to wear a gown, they can certainly both wear a gown.
Tara Baker, I have so much respect for you. Thank you so much for being up early on a Monday morning in Australia. What town are you in?
I'm on the Gold Coast in Australia.
And, you know, I've been to Australia twice, and that is one of the few regions of the world that is appropriately named. The Gold Coast is magnificent. I am so jealous of you. You do live in the luckiest country in the world. And guess what? They can curse on the radio in Australia. They can actually curse on the radio. It's the first thing I heard when I turned on 2GB in Sydney. Thank you so much, Tara Baker. On the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, I put up your link. I'm going to send it out on Twitter right now. Thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday with Walter Sterling. It was great to have you. Thanks, Tara. Thank you for being with us.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who probably likes sports? Hey guys, I get a lot of questions asking, how can I tell if a girl is gay? Well,
you don't wear a beanie in the summer for no reason, or a baseball tee when it's not baseball season. If you're checking nails in, they're always trimmed. Or Case 2 is her style twin. She knows that.
CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who probably likes sports?
In seconds, you and I will discuss the worst roads in the U.S., the stupidity of tolls, and my insult on social media, and an important conversation with a produce manager. We've got a big show for you, plus my incident with Bob Surratt in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday from Westwood One.
I have hand-selected these stories and approved them for the Walter M. Sterling program.
All right, we have Gary Arnell. He's a great talk show host, King. He should be working full-time. It's shocking and disgusting that Gary Arnell is not working full-time. I think everybody can agree on that. But, Gary Arnell, I have a bone to pick with you.
It's good that you're doing it now, because I was thinking about vegetarianism tomorrow, and bones would not be in my discussion. So,
no.
So you've made it into a bone to pick with me?
But what's shocking...
Yes.
Is that every vegetarian thinks you should become a vegetarian.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And no meat eater says, you know, you should eat more filet mignons.
Right.
And every jerk sales manager says, you should get up early, you should be in early, but nobody who stays up late, like you and me, ever says you should stay up later.
No, they never say that. You're absolutely correct.
All right,
correct.
Now listen. Because I don't know how to time this clock. So listen.
Brother.
Here's the, I know, amateur night. Now here's
no,
the
no,
deal.
No, I'm worried about the bone. Go ahead.
On the Facebook page, on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, you, listener, can go to the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page and write a review of my show.
Mm.
And you can give it stars, 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gary Arnell had the grace to go on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page and write a lovely, short, but nice review.
Mm.
You remember that, Gary?
I am trying to recollect, because I have converse so often with accolades about your program, but I'm trying to recollect exactly what I wrote.
You wrote something nice. That wasn't the issue.
All right, so what's the issue?
You gave me 3 stars.
No way.
Yes, instead of 5 stars, you gave me 3 stars, and you pulled down the average number of stars.
No, absolutely impossible. That I, even if I thought that the last show that I listened to was only worth 3, 3.5 stars, which has never happened in the history of listening to this program, would I ever even remotely think about the possibility of 3 stars?
Gary,
this may be a Putin, a Russian.
Gary?
Yeah?
Thank you very much. This is Westwood One. All right, let's go. We've got too much to do. I only have 3 hours a week to do it. If I was on every day, that would mean program directors have a sense of humor. But we know better, don't we? We know better. They all say, oh, I want to have shows that don't just scream about politics. But here it is, buddy. Here it is. You should be fighting over it. Hey, listen, I am thrilled that Bill Hess of WMAL and Peter Bolger of WLS and Steve Moore at KMOX, who takes some of it, but not all of it, because he doesn't want to tick off Ryan. You know, we can't tick off Ryan. Hey, Ryan, thanks for the nice tweets. That's really nice of you. And on KDKA, we don't want to mess up with those church services. So much to do. Skagitqueta Expressway in Buffalo is the most hated, worst road in America. Here are some of the other ones. Ready? Constructed in 1964, I-345 is an elevated freeway that cuts through downtown Dallas. A historic jazz neighborhood was destroyed in the process. You ready? There are more. Built in 1960s, Interstate 70 cuts through 3 historic neighborhoods in Denver, Elyria, in Colorado. The Colorado Department of Transportation is planning to waste $1.2 billion on expanding the highway to an additional 4 lanes. Here's some more. Built in 1959, Interstate 375. Is barely 1 mile long, but it's one of the worst and most hated roads in America. It cut through and subsequently destroyed the Black Bottom District and a historic district in Paradise Valley. The Michigan Department of Transportation and Detroit Downtown Development is considering removing the highway. Here's another one. Worst highways in America. What do you think? What's your opinion? We're live. 888-688-WALT. Completed in 1985, the two-mile freeway runs from Interstate 880 to Jack London Square in Oakland, California. That's I-980. It had devastating effects on the neighborhoods in West Oakland. Those are some of the worst highways in America. My opinion, the freaking Dan Ryan. Going into Chicago, the freaking Dan Ryan. And to me, the worst road in America is the stretch of U.S. 1 in New Jersey between the Lincoln Tunnel and the Holland Tunnel. That road hasn't been repaired in 400 years, has it, Sal? Sal, my friend, Sal Saletto, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Sal.
How are you?
What do you think the worst road in New Jersey is, Sal?
Well, I may have to agree with you on that one. Always the traffic is a pain going towards New York, and that Lincoln Tunnel is always backed up. So that not only has it not been repaired, that's probably one of the worst ones.
And it's ugly. Like every few feet is another whore hotel. It's the ugliest damn road in America.
I have to agree with you on that one. I don't like to drive too much, but when I do drive, I'll agree on that for sure.
Now, listen, on the phone with me now on Sterling on Sunday is the great Sal Saletto. Now, Sal Saletto is a fan of radio, aren't you, Sal?
I am indeed, and I have followed your career. Your radio background is unparalleled, Walter, unparalleled.
Well, but it's radio. Now, more importantly, I get this LinkedIn request from Sal Saletto. Mm-hmm. And I'm always fascinated by the LinkedIn requests I get because I'm always wondering, why would they want to link with me? I'm looking at some of these, and I see that Sal Saletto is the produce manager at Food Circus Supermarkets, Inc., at Food Town Supermarkets. You're the produce manager at Food Town Supermarkets. And I'm looking at him like, why would the produce manager of Food Town Supermarkets want to link with Walter Sterling? Why would you want to link with Walter Sterling? So Sal Saletto, I thought, you know, I'm going to put this mystery to rest. Sal, would you please explain to me why you wanted to link with me on LinkedIn?
That is a very good question. But me being a radio fan and fan of yours for many years, especially since your early days in the NBC area, we have some mutual friends, such as Bill Rock, John Lund. I said, you know, I'm kind of new to the social media, so when I got on LinkedIn, I seen your name. I always remembered following your career. I said, you know what? Even though my day job is a produce manager, but I have an extensive interest in radio, and I was a club DJ here on the Jersey Shore for about 10 years.
Now, so about the Jersey Shore, do you have I see your home is a little bit in from the shore. Do you happen to have a home, like, on the shore?
I am about 3 miles from the water in near Asbury Park. It's a town called Wanamassa, which is really Ocean Township.
Well, the reason I ask is because someday a listener is going to say, yes, Mr. Sterling, you can use our home on the Jersey Shore. That's my goal. My goal is a free home on the Jersey Shore for 2 or 3 weeks. But let me ask you some produce manager questions, Sal Saletto.
Yes,
Sal Saletto is the produce manager at Food Town Supermarkets. And Sal, as a man, I know this is sexist, but as a man, I feel poorly equipped to deal with the produce issues when I go to the supermarket, and I only go to the supermarket alone. I think married couples that go to the supermarket together are idiots. I go, I see them fighting and arguing, and it's like, no, I go alone for therapy to get away from my wife, my never suffering, much younger, very beautiful wife. But the real question, Sal Saletto, is how the heck do I know if the cantaloupe is ready?
Well, that's an easy one, Walter. The outside of the cantaloupe has to be yellowish golden, and it has to have kind of a ripe smell. The general rule, if a cantaloupe is white or green on the outside, it cuts white or green. If it's golden yellow color, it cuts golden.
Wow.
So then you have a ripe cantaloupe.
Now, as a Jersey guy who knows from corn, the corn I get in April, where the heck does that come from?
Primarily, well, yeah, in the winter it's tough. A couple of growing regions, sometimes Florida, sometimes California. And never imported, though. The corn is always USA, but it's never imported. It doesn't have that Jersey flavor like you have in the summer.
Well, is it frozen all winter? I mean, how do you have it?
No, we do get it most of the year in a limited supply. It comes in prepackaged, so when they source it out from their areas, I would say primarily maybe Florida, and then when the weather gets cold there, California.
Now,
it comes in four in a package.
Sal Saletto, Food Market Supermarkets, Food Town Supermarkets, sorry, mm-hmm. Food Town Supermarkets. This organic stuff, that's a lot of crap, right?
Well, organics, the category in the last, I'd say, 5 years has exploded to supermarkets used to just carry a small section. Now, they have like 300 items. They are pesticide-free. They, a lot of items you could tell a sweeter flavor, such as bananas in particular. And they have a certain group that's grown in the ground that they say the soil is better. Some people swear to it. I buy organics. Some people buy half and half. But I do believe that there
is
a definite difference.
But how do you know? Sal, how do you know if it's really organic? Because to me, if it's in the ground and it grew, it's organic.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have to go through a process, and the growers have to be certified. And if it has USDA certified organic label on, supposedly it went through a process of being certified organic, and then you're able to sell it. But you bring up a good point. How do you really know?
Well, you're the produce manager. How do you know? You're the produce manager. How do you know?
Yeah, I take it as if it's not labeled correctly like that and not certified, we can't put it out as organic, and then we have to take it as their word that the product is organic.
Sal Saletto is the produce manager at Food Town Supermarkets in New Jersey. I got one more question for you.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen a trend? Have you seen a trend that a certain fruit or certain vegetable is more popular than it was 5 years ago? Have some fruits and vegetables fallen out of favor?
Bagged salads have, out of a matter of convenience, have they're exploded in sales. The kale trend, a lot of people going for fresh vegetables. And the apples, Red Delicious used to always be the standard. But now you have your Honeycrisp, which has risen to the top of the chart, and you have different breeds of apples which have come in, especially around the holidays. People go away from the traditional Red, Gold, and Delicious, and they go for Honeycrisp and all the new varieties. But I also see a trend in like the fresh vegetables, lot of greens.
And what about those cotton candy grapes?
Cotton candy grapes, yes. Definitely an acquired taste, Walter. Very short in supply.
I love those. Hey, Sal Saletto is the produce manager at Food Town Supermarkets, and you are a good sport, and you've given us good information. I got in touch with Sal Saletto this afternoon. He agreed to come on, like, with no notice and not knowing what was going on. So you're a good guy, Sal, because you're a Jersey guy. Jersey guys take care of each other. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you, Sal Saletto, who is the produce manager of Food Town Supermarkets. I wanted to know why he connected with me on LinkedIn. You get these weird requests on LinkedIn from people going, why the heck would they want to talk to me? I didn't know. This is what I want to talk to you about at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I'm live at 45 past the hour. We are live. Everybody feels weird tonight because of that time change. 1 hour can totally screw you up. But what I want to know from you, because the odds are you're driving, the worst road you have to deal with. I want to know about the dumbest toll and the worst road, because there's nothing dumber than the tolls. You think you have some control of your life, you don't. Here's how you know. There's a publication called Toll Road News. Let me repeat that. There's a publication called Toll Road News. It is a publication for all of the people who run toll roads in America. And they compare notes. It comes out every day. It has dozens of articles every day on how to keep us tolled. The crooks all communicate with each other to figure out how to keep us tolled. There was one article this week. I read this obsessively, Toll Road News, Tollway Road News, or something like that. I want to hear about the worst road you have to deal with, the dumbest tolls you have to pay. 888-688-WALT. I'm live, 888-688-WALT, and I need to talk to you. 888-688-WALT, and Matt needs something to do. One more, 888-688-WALT. dumbest road, worst roads you have to deal with, worst toll. There's an article in Toll Road News this week. You ready? About how the government of New York City is on track to promote, encourage, and people are getting comfortable with tolling in New York City. That's what it says. There are other articles about how to deal with objections to tolls. What to do when there's a lobbying group, an organized committee to fight tolls. They're working on this. There are conferences and conventions of people who put up tolls that make our lives a living hell. I thought it was the community or the state. They were isolated. They're not isolated at all. These guys are talking to each other all the time. They're working with each other all the time. John, you're on Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, John.
Thank you very much for your time. I know your topic is new. Going to the grocery store with your wife when you're from Cleveland, Ohio, and she's from Minnesota, but you live in Virginia, I'm trying to buy beef and pork. She's trying to make schnitzel. So I did just what the commenter said, your previous caller, who's a very nice person from New Jersey. No, I stopped doing that. I just did the store myself.
No, it's a bad idea. It's a very bad and dangerous idea to go grocery shopping with your wife. Now, where's your wife from?
Minnetonka, Minnesota.
And where are you from?
My birthplace is Key West, Florida. My family is Cleveland, Ohio. I grew up most in Cleveland, Ohio.
We
lived in Northern Virginia.
No, you didn't. What is the deal with people from the suburbs of Cleveland who say they're from Cleveland? Where are you really from?
Community is called Euclid.
Right. Why don't you say, I'm not mad at you, John, but why don't you say Euclid? It's a weird thing about people from the suburbs of Cleveland. They say Cleveland. People from Shaker Heights, Beechwood, they all say, I'm from Cleveland. I grew up in Maplewood, New Jersey. One road of it borders Newark. There's no way in hell I would ever say I'm from Newark.
May I answer your question? Good question.
Yes.
Fantastic question. My uncle lived in, they called it Beverly Hills, but that's further up. And once we went back to look at a home later, the name for my father was changed to Cleveland because it wasn't Euclid anymore, because it was gone. I mean, the home was there. The neighborhood was gone.
Right. Well, John, thanks very much for calling us early on Sunday.
Is that a good comment?
Yeah, that was good. John, I would, but there's something wrong with our connection. Like, you cut out every other word. But thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. It's just out of courtesy to you. I'd love to have talked to John some more because he had a lot of good stuff to say, and I'm always obsessed with people who have this strange idiosyncrasy of claiming they're from Cleveland, which is nothing I'd claim, when in fact they're from the suburbs of Cleveland. It's a weird thing. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, and don't get fat if you want to get on the plane. Now an airline wants to weigh us before we fly. Pow! The insults are nonstop in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday on Westwood One.
Annoying you now, Walter M. Sterling.
All right. In every business, the people who work in any given business or industry has nightmares. I have a nightmare this is a nightmare I have about twice a year, that I go to the bathroom during a commercial break and I can't find my way back to the studio. I wonder what kind of nightmares toll takers have.
And now the Walter Sterling Showgram presents Toll Taker Tumble, sponsored by Sweetheart Soap. In this episode, toll collectors are recorded sharing their worst fears. Let's listen in.
Hey, Mo, do you ever have the toll taker's nightmare?
You mean the one where an 18-wheeler runs straight for your booth and crushes you at 90 miles per hour?
No, the one that's much worse.
Oh, I can't even think about that.
No, the one when a car pulls up and the mom stretches out her hand.
Don't say it. Please don't say it.
And the bill she hands you.
No, no.
Is all crumbled up.
Ah!
At this Radio Hall of Fame dinner, very fancy dinner in Chicago. Oh, there was more to that? Well, you're going to have to hear it later. There's just so much I can remember. It's so hard. I'm at this very fancy dinner, the Radio Hall of Fame dinner. And there are all these great broadcasters, real broadcasters. And it's hosted by Jim Bohannon, who I'm guest starring for this week. Tomorrow night, yes. So if you're on a radio listening on a radio station that airs Jim Bohannon, congratulations, and I'm subbing for him tomorrow night. And there's Bob Surratt.
WLS with Bob Surratt and Music Radio Touchtones this afternoon, signaling your chance to win things like Yes concert tickets, Eric Clapton and Santana concert tickets, Polaroid cameras, and other goodies from the radio station.
Now, Bob Surratt is a famous disc jockey in Chicago, who became famous on WLS, and he's still on WLS. He was famous on WLS, which is his top 40 rock station, and now he's the midday talk show host on WLS. He's a very big deal in Chicago. In Chicago, it's like you say, Bob Surratt, huge deal. He was on TV for years. Now he does middays on WLS, the station that we're on in Chicago. The fact that my show is on for all 3 hours live in Chicago on WLS is a very big deal. It should be noted by every potential affiliate that WLS clears the show live, and the Peter Bolger is a very brave and brilliant and visionary program director. All right, get this. There's Bob Surratt at the dinner. I'd never met him before at this Radio Hall of Fame dinner. I'd never met him before. And I see him, and I'm like, I'm going to go shake his hand. And I'm going to say to Bob Surratt, we're on the same station. The fact I'm on the same station with Bob Surratt's incredible on many levels. I go up to Bob Surratt. I walk up to him. I go, hi, I'm Walter Sterling. It's an honor for me to be on the same station with you. He looked at me like he had just eaten bad cheese. And had that thing in his eye where, I've got to get away from this as fast as I can. He had no idea who I was. And if he did have an idea who I was, he was not happy with anything that I do. He had that thing in his eye like, get me away from this as soon as possible. But I'm happy to be here, Bob Surratt, on WLS. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Went to radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
All right, that was fascinating, what we learned about the Pennsylvania State Lottery and how you can win lotto in the state of Pennsylvania, and about the secret treasures hidden in the old post office in Philadelphia. Amazing. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This hour, a woman straps her kid to the top of the car, gets arrested. Plus, you can become a midnight misfit and get your Dakota ring. The secrets of Cake Boss. And an update on This Is Us. TV coverage refused by other talk shows. Refused. And now Joe Mastronardo, my buddy Frank Rizzo's grandson, Mayor Frank Rizzo's grandson of Philadelphia, on the horror of his grandfather's statue being moved. To fill you in, Frank Rizzo was the last real mayor of Philadelphia. When Mayor Rizzo said it's going to happen, he made it happen. The man was a man of his word. He did what he promised to do. Very rare in a politician. And therefore, Joe has been a lightning rod for controversy. Joe, tell me what they want to do to your grandfather's statue.
How's it going, Walter? I don't know exactly what they want to do yet. They haven't said anything about that. I just know that it came across the other day that they're going to move it. But, I mean, that's really no surprise.
Well, where is it? So most of you are not in Philadelphia. Where is the statue now?
It's across the street from City Hall, in front of the Municipal Services Building.
And do you have any idea why they want to move it?
Well, I mean, they've been the last couple of years, the left is just that they're trying to say that my grandfather was a racist. It's the same thing that they've been saying for 20, 30 years. And you know, I guess all the leftists are very upset that Donald Trump was elected president. So I guess they have to grasp onto the whole racism issue, because that's their main go-to. That's what, everybody's a racist. This guy's a racist. That guy's a racist. So, you know, they found my grandfather. They know that there was controversy about him years ago in a different era. And, you know, I guess he's their latest example of racism that they wanted to cook up.
Joe Mastronardo, whose mother makes the greatest lasagna I've ever had. Now, I only say that in the safety of the fact that my mother is dead, so she didn't hear that. But the fact is that your mother made the best lasagna I've ever had. And therefore, you're welcome on the show anytime you want, Joe, because A.J. Essington and Matt DeSantis, they have no food. And they're still eating off of the largest lasagna we've ever seen. And thank you, thank you, thank you. But, Joe, how does it feel when you knew your grandfather, Mayor Frank Rizzo, a certain way, and he's portrayed quite differently? Tell me for a second how your relationship was with your grandfather. What kind of man did a 9-year-old boy see versus what he's being portrayed as today?
Well, first of all, I think it's a disgrace. They're going to move the statue. I think Jimmy Kennedy's completely gutless. That first and foremost, that's my thought right off the bat.
Jimmy Kennedy is the current mayor of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think he's just a spineless jellyfish. And think about this. He's going to allow the removal of a statue of a man far greater than he is, over some radical leftist protesters. I mean, that's, you know, he's going to pander and cater to them. I mean, that just says a lot about what type of person he is. My grandfather was a great guy, and he treated me like I was 16 or 17 when I was 9, and that's when he died. But I mean, I spent a lot of time with him. So, you know, he treated me like I was 16 or 17. He told me things that you wouldn't necessarily tell a little kid. We had a really good relationship. He was a great guy. He, like you said in your introduction, he did everything he said he was going to do. If someone called his radio show and said, hey, I lost my dog, can you help me find my dog in any way? Well, he would make calls as soon as he got off the air, or the next day, and he would send police officers or whoever he could send to that person's house to try to help them find, you know, try to help them find the dog. I mean,
Joe Mastronardo is the grandson of the great Frank Rizzo, the mayor of Philadelphia, which, by the way, there may be debate over whether or not Mayor Rizzo was a great mayor, but there's no debate over whether or not Frank Rizzo was a great talk show host here on 1210 WPHT. He was a great he was an amazing talk show host. Oh my gosh. He had great ratings. He did exactly what a good talk show host is supposed to do, which is give their opinion without fear. And Lord knows he knew Philadelphia.
He was really good, and it was a lot of fun. We used to listen every day, me and my mom, when I was a little kid.
Thanks so much for being with me tonight, Joe Mastronardo. I didn't mean to cut you off. Thank you very much for being with us, and please bring the lasagna anytime. Thanks for being.
You got it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday with Walter M. Sterling. It's amazing, this statue nonsense. Really? So the statue hasn't bothered you for 20 or 30 years? Name the statue. It seems that it has to be moved. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. A mom is accused of driving her minivan with son and plastic spoon tied to the top. Ready? A mother in Wisconsin is facing a felony charge of recklessly endangering safety after she allegedly strapped her 9-year-old to the top of a minivan on top of a plastic pool. No, really, that's what happened. You ready? She strapped her 9-year-old to the top of her minivan.
Amber Schmunk, a 28-year-old mother from Fredonia, now charged with second-degree recklessly endangering safety after she allegedly strapped her 9-year-old son to the roof of her car to hold down a pool that they were transporting. Schmunk told officers that she thought it was okay because her father let her do things like that when she was a little girl.
All right, you have a mom who strapped her 9-year-old son to the top of the minivan to hold down an inflatable plastic pool. And that's what everybody's focused on. I'm focused on a different part of that story.
Now, Walter Sterling presents a...
No, that's the wrong one.
Amber Schmunk, a 28-year-old mother from Fredonia, now charged with second-degree recklessly endangering safety after she allegedly strapped her 9-year-old son to the roof of her car to hold down a pool that they were transporting. Schmunk told officers that she thought it was okay because her father let her do things like that when she was a little girl.
What? Her father did things like that when she was a little girl. Her father did things like that when she was a little girl. She's not that old. She's like 28, 29, and hot. This is a hot mom, 28-year-old mom, Amber Schmunk. In her mind, it was okay because her father did things like that when she was a little girl.
Amber Schmunk, a 28-year-old mother from Fredonia, now charged with second-degree recklessly endangering safety after she allegedly strapped her 9-year-old son to the roof of her car to hold down a pool that they were transporting. Schmunk told officers that she thought it was okay because her father let her do things like that when she was a little girl.
What things did your parents do when you were a kid that they would be arrested for today? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. What things did your parents do when you were a little kid that would get them arrested today? What things did your parents do when you were a little kid that would get them arrested today? Think about it. Remember station wagons? There'd be four or five kids lying in the back of a station wagon with their feet hanging out the side, and that was fine. You'd be pulled over today. You'd be given a ticket. You might be arrested for endangering the welfare of a minor. Or the car seat. No, not the ones that face backwards that are like an astronaut seat. There was a car seat in the middle of the front seat made out of aluminum foil and vinyl. And the kid would sit there in the middle between the two parents in the front seat of the Buick. And if the car stopped suddenly, boom, mom's hand would reflexively, involuntarily go in front of the kid and protect the kid. Today, if you put a 2-year-old in the front seat in the middle, you're going to be arrested. Things that your parents would have been arrested for today that they used to do all the time. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. I am fascinated by the fact that this Amber Schmunk thought it was okay to tie her kid to the top of a minivan and drive with the kid tied to the top of the minivan, her 9-year-old son tied to the top of the minivan, and she's going to be arrested. And she's going to be sent to jail. Officers who arrived on scene questioned Schmunk about her son's alleged wild ride. They said she admitted the boy had been on top of the minivan for maybe 20 or 30 seconds. She told authorities she picked up a molded plastic pool at another house, but didn't have enough room inside the minivan. She allegedly said she decided to put the pool on top of the minivan, but had no way to strap it down. So, she had her child climb on the roof and hold it down while she drove. Police said she told them she thought her actions were okay since her dad would do things like that when she was 9. She's arrested. She's probably going to go to jail. She didn't think she did anything wrong. You know what? I don't think she did anything wrong either. But there are a lot of things that parents would be arrested for today that they might have done 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Do you have examples of things that your parents did that would get them arrested today? 888-688-WALT. I am live at 17 past the hour on a Sunday night. 888-688-WALT. Walter M. Sterling. And this is Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. Last week, I told you about Digital Doc, D-O-C, 24-7, Digital Doc, 24-7, and I made a terrible mistake when I told you about Digital Doc. What's Digital Doc? Digital Doc solves a big problem. There are 24-hour pharmacies, and they're useless unless you have a 24-hour doctor who can write a prescription for you in your state. Useless. However, what I didn't say was that you can get a doctor 24 hours, 7 days a week, who will examine you, who will look at videos or pictures of what you're worried about, who will deal with the problem of having a five-year-old with 102-degree temperature, which has happened to me, at 1 in the morning, he can't reach anybody, and you need a prescription. You need the antibiotic now. Well, DigitalDoc247, DigitalDoc247.com solves the problem. There's a doctor making a house call simply by going online to DigitalDoc247.com. But here's the mistake I made, and it was a serious mistake. When you go to DigitalDoc247, it's important to get started and register. Why? Because I'm a type 2 diabetic. And if I need my meds at 1 in the morning because my sugar's crashing, I don't think clearly. Yeah, I could go to the website, but then I have to register and I put in my name. And it's a very simple, quick process, but not when you're sick. Not when the 4-year-old is crying because her earache is killing her. Not when you need urgent medical attention. Going to a website and signing up just takes up too much time and it's too confusing when you're in the middle of a medical crisis. Therefore, go to DigitalDoc247.com right now. DigitalDoc247.com right now. Sign up for it now. You'd be shocked at how inexpensive it is. And what do you get? You get a doctor who's licensed to your state, who can write a prescription right now over the internet in your state and solve the earache at 4 in the morning for the 4-year-old, or solve the sugar crashing for a diabetic at 1 in the morning. What's the point of having a 24-hour pharmacy if you don't have a 24-hour doctor? But it's a bad idea to wait until you're in a medical crisis to try to sign up for a service. Do it now. Sign up for it, and then you go to bed tonight with the peace of mind that you always have a doctor on call who's going to make a house call to you digitally. DigitalDoc, D-O-C-247, DigitalDoc247. I'm Walter M. Sterling. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Things that your parents would be arrested for today that they did just normally when you were a kid. Let's talk about it. This is Westwood One.
See Walter's secret filthy thoughts on Twitter during the show. Follow on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling.
All right, there are my Midnight Misfits. There's Juan Sanchez. Welcome, Jason Rushing, Carl Nappi, David Lynch, Neil Paul, my buddy, Rebecca Canner. Welcome, Rebecca Canner. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Robert Dowd, D. Wells, Rosemary Furlong and her mom, and Robert Goff, Frankly Reds. Welcome, 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 my Midnight Misfits. I will tell you in just seconds how you can join the Midnight Misfit Club, because we need to stick together, because we're not normal. Let's talk about things your parents did that would get them arrested today. When you were growing up, there were a lot of things that parents did that would get them arrested today. Plus, the dumbest corporate speak in the history of corporate speak. That's in just seconds. Here's my phone number. Let's you and I talk. I'm live. 888-688-WALT. Adam from WLS. Welcome.
Hey, hi, Walter. So we moved from Chicago to Miami. We get down to Miami. My dad needs a new car. So he goes and buys a Camaro. And we're four kids, two boys and two girls. So we're all four in the back seat, but sometimes it got crowded. So my little 3-year-old sister would surf on the middle console. And it was my big sister's job to make sure that she would grab her in case he had a brake hard so that she wouldn't fly into the dash or windshield. And nobody ever said anything. You know, my dad would have the window down, smoking a cigarette. My mom would just be there. No, nobody ever thought about things, you know, something like that being wrong. And by the way, the car had seatbelts. Nobody ever put on a seatbelt, had a red interior, and actually the seatbelts had faded where they were tucked into the center console. because they were never used. The sun hit them, and that was it. You know, so this is one of the many things that now you'd get, you know, probably at least have to show up in court for.
Adam, you're right. Thanks very much for calling. Things that your parents did when you were a kid that would get them arrested today. I didn't wear seat belts. We had a car seat in the middle of the front seat. And in the station wagon, there'd be five kids in the back, and their feet would be hanging out the back. Things that your parents did when you were a kid that would get them arrested today. Here's my phone number. It's 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. And there's Keith Mortensen and John Half. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. This is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. See Walter's secret filthy thoughts on Twitter during the show. Follow on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling.
Stuff your parents did that would get them arrested today. Our special summary of the TV show This Is Us and Trouble with Cake Boss. Plus a man thrown in jail for sending strippers to his neighbor. And Sam Greenfield, a great talk show host who should be working. Dan at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT from Bill Hess's and Mary Walters, WMAL. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Walt. When I was five in 1955, my parents allowed me and my brother, who was six, and my sister, who was nine, to walk across a road, a fairly busy road, and walk about a mile to a playground unassisted by an adult. And, of course, we got there, had fun, and got home, and no questions asked. But I've heard now today that you're not allowed to allow your young children to walk around unassisted without an adult. And I've heard of a person, a lady, who got arrested for doing just the same thing.
Yes, there have been cases where 9- and 10-year-olds walked to the park alone, and the parents were arrested for negligence, not taking care of the kid properly. We're talking about a ridiculous story where a woman tied her 9-year-old son to the top of the minivan to hold down a pool for about 10 seconds. And her argument was, this is the sort of stuff my father would do all the time. She was, in fact, arrested last week in Fredonia, Wisconsin. She's going to be on trial. She's probably going to go to jail for endangering that child. It is astonishing, isn't it, Dan, the things that our parents used to do? And you and I seem to be fine.
I'm not alarmed by it, Walt, at all.
No.
I'll let you get on to another caller. I'm just kind of amazed by the whole thing.
I'm disgusted. Thank you so much, Dan, for calling 888-688-WALT. Things that your parents would be arrested for today that they did when you and I were kids. 888-688-WALT. Ted from WLS, you're on Sterling on Sunday with Walter Sterling.
Hi.
Hey.
Something that I did that my kids would get arrested for.
Yes.
Went to the University of Illinois, and there was a lot of streaking going on.
Yes. Did you streak?
I didn't. But I was on campus one night when they had a streaking night, and just about every fraternity and every sorority was streaking through the quad. There were people on motorcycles naked and people on horseback. Strangest thing I ever saw.
And today, what do you think would happen, Dan? Ted, what do you think would happen today?
I don't think they'd permit that anymore, even on campus.
No, I don't either. I think it's ridiculous. We've gotten crazy, crazy with the rules. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate it, Ted. At 888-688-WALT, things that your parents did when you and I were kids that would get them arrested today. And welcome Dennis Cole and Frankie Reds and Martin Connors and Neil Paul. That was a nice... You can review this show on Facebook, but I'm warning you, better give it 5 stars. Fred Weezer, Mibe Poplowski, Dan Gaffney, these are the Midnight Misfits. If you would like to be a Midnight Misfit, you can get a secret decoder card. And soon we will give away prizes to people with the secret decoder card. Here's all you have to do. Send me your real email, your real mail address to Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. And next week we're going to reveal a new email address. Imagine my shock that Ryan at KMOX has a CBS radio email address, and I was denied one for 4 years, even though my paycheck said CBS radio. And imagine my horror when Jim Bohannon, the great Jim Bohannon, a Westwood One host, handed me his new, here's my new business card, Walter, and there's Jim Bohannon's new business card, and Westwood One refuses to give me a business card or an email address, because I'm not an employee. And you know, there's IT issues and there's SOX compliance and all kinds of crap. Rick in Arkansas at KARN. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, man? I've got so many things my mom used to do. It blow your mind, but thing that stands out in my mind, when I was 4 years old, we lived in an apartment over top of a bar, and my mom used to hang clothes out on the clothesline on the roof of the bar, and she used to tie me to the clothesline.
No, she didn't.
I would take off.
Rick, she did not tie you to the clothesline. You're making that up.
She did. She tied me to the clothesline, gave me just enough rope to reach to the edge of the roof.
She tied you to the clothesline so you wouldn't get away. Is that it? You could still walk around. Ah.
Well, I could get inside the window, but would she be out there hanging her clothes? If she turned her back, I was gone.
Hey, Rick, thanks very much for calling from KARN, the home of Peter Thiel, a brilliant, brilliant programmer. John from Virginia, you're on with Walter M. Sterling at 888-688-WALT. Things your
Thank
parents
you very
would
well.
Get...
I'm the Euclid guy that we didn't have the good communication with, but when we were growing up, we were handed every firearm in the world. We were told how to treat every firearm, how you handle it, and how you did it. I'm a retired police officer. I have two sons who are police officers. We've never hurt anybody, ever. Our discipline has been fantastic. You got to raise boys. This is the problem that is going on in this country. Men need to be raised to maturity. Their job is to protect their women and their homes, whatever their homes are, whatever their religion are.
That's what you just said. Thank you very much for calling. Is really important. The job of a man is to protect a woman. A real man does not harass a woman at work. A real man protects a woman from harassment in every aspect of life. Thanks very much for calling. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Oh, it's so nice to hear from Judy on KMOX. Steve Moore, who means to clear all 3 hours because Ryan really does need a break. Welcome, Judy, to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call when I was a kid. I had three younger brothers, and my dad had a 47 Chevrolet with a three on the tree. And my three brothers and I would fight who was going to lay up in the window behind the back seat. No seat belts, nothing. Nobody thought that was dangerous. Well, in this day and age, if you did something like that, you'd probably go to jail.
Oh, believe me, you'd go to jail if you had a kid, a 3 or 4 year old, sitting there without seatbelts on. You're absolutely right, Judy. Thanks very much for calling from KMOX in St. Louis. Great radio station. Number one in this trend, because of the brilliant Steve Moore, who really should clear all 3 hours because Ryan wants a break. He does want a break. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Here's your phone number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Things your parents would get arrested for today based on something they did when you and I were a kid. Things they did for when you and I were a kid that would get them arrested today. This woman tied her 9-year-old in Fredonia, Wisconsin, to the top of the minivan to hold down a pool. I don't understand it either. But she did. The kid was up there for maybe 10 seconds. Her justification for doing this was that her father used to do things like this.
Amber Schmunk, a 28-year-old mother from Fredonia, now charged with second-degree recklessly endangering safety after she allegedly strapped her 9-year-old son to the roof of her car to hold down a pool that they were transporting. Schmunk told officers that she thought it was okay because her father let her do things like that when she was a little girl.
Her father used to do things like that when she was a little girl. She's only 28. Things that your parents did that would get them arrested today. Dean from Arkansas, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hello, Sterling. How are you doing?
888-688-WALT.
Hi. Background. And I want to say I appreciate a good talk show host. So I can't figure out why she would even think about tying this kid to the roof.
Oh, I wouldn't tie a kid to the roof. My parents would not have tied a kid to the roof. But in her brain, it was okay because of things her daddy did.
Well, I think people nowadays are a little overprotective of kids, and in some ways it's good because you protect them from stupid parents. We don't get to pick our parents. My mother used to lock us up in a closet. You know, she had crap for brains, but you have to protect the children sometimes. That's all I got to say about it. I mean, sometimes it goes,
hey, Dean,
above and beyond. Yeah.
You like the show?
I love your show. Like I said, I come from a broadcasting background. You do a good job.
Can you identify this voice?
The expert of ESP, the spiritualist, who reaches out and touches you in the spirit.
Do you know who that is?
I could barely hear it. I'm on a cell phone, so it didn't come out too good.
Hey,
why don't you do this? Why don't you play it in a few seconds when I get off the air?
And sure, I'll... sure, no problem. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate the call, Dean, at 888-688-WALT. I will engineer and produce the entire show just to Dean's specs. Ron from WLS, you're on Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi there. I didn't know you were on KMOX, so now I can listen locally. But anyway, I have two things.
Well, that's because they need to promote it more and not promote Ryan as much.
Yeah, well, in my day, two things. We rode on the back of my dad's pickup truck, and we stood up riding through town and waving at
everybody. First, let me bring in John.
Sorry, that was my mistake. Yes, go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's all right. We rode in the back of the pickup truck standing up, never thought a thing about it. And nowadays, with those streakers going back to the college days, now they'd be charged with being sex perverts. They would be on the sex, the adult sex abuse list thing, whatever, for the rest of their lives. And what happened to having fun?
What happened to having fun? You can't even say anything. You can't make jokes anymore. You can't make casual comments. You're hauled up in front of the court or in front of HR. It's disgusting. Thanks very much for calling, Ron, at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Sid, how are you? Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi. We're talking about things that your parents could get arrested for today that they did when you were a kid. Hi.
When we were, me and my brother, my parents, we had the station wagon, and the back window would be down. We'd be sitting on the back of it, looking over the top of the station wagon, holding on to the luggage racks as they're driving 45 miles an hour all over the place.
And were you scared?
No, it was fun.
No, it was fun. It wasn't a problem,
right,
was it?
Yeah, it didn't bother us. We never thought that we were going to fall because we're holding on.
Yes.
Riding in the back of pickup trucks is another one like that we used to do. It used to be fun to drive around, sit on the back of the pickup truck with the back down, and you sit on it, and the driver would purposely try to knock you off. That was the point of the point of doing that, too.
Right, the point of it.
Get knocked off.
The point, you mean the point was to throw you onto the road? Is that it?
Yeah, or we'd be driving around the back at my grandfather's farm and you'd get knocked off.
Oh, you'd get knocked into a field. I got it. Thanks very much for calling 888-688-WALT. As I mentioned to you before, I've gotten a lot of emails just now and a lot of Facebook messages. Here's the answer. This digitaldoc247.com, digitaldoc247.com is a way for you and I to have a doctor on call 24 hours a day. Digitaldoc247.com. You go to that website, you can get a doctor right now, 24/7, right now. What does that mean? It means that if you need a prescription right now, you can get one. If your kid has an earache right now, you can get a prescription. If you have a strange, unusual rash and it wasn't involving a new date, the doctor can help you right now. But the important thing, and I screwed up last week because I made this mistake myself. It's important when you go to 247.com, digitaldoc247.com, it's important to actually sign up for it now when you're healthy. Because when you and I get sick, we get confused. You have diabetes, your blood sugar tanks, and you need a prescription right away. You're not thinking clearly. The four-year-old screaming at 2 in the morning, you're not thinking clearly. Your 10-year-old has a 102-degree temperature, you're not thinking clearly. So it's important to go to digitaldoc247.com and actually sign up. And that way, when you need a doctor, they'll be available. Let's talk about things that your parents would have gotten arrested for today that they did when you and I were kids. Here's my number, 888-688-WALT. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and coming up tonight, a great talk show host who should be working, Sam Greenfield, who's going to answer the biggest mystery of talk radio. And welcome David Lynch and Howard Bloom to Sterling on Sunday. This is Westwood One.
Sterling on Sundays. See Walter's secret filthy thoughts on Twitter during the show. Follow on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling.
All right, from 1210 WPHT. No, from Westwood One, great stations like WLS, WPHT, WMAL, KARN in Little Rock. Welcome, KKAT in Salt Lake City. In seconds, a man thrown in jail for sending strippers to his neighbor. And you get to vote. Brady Bunch Brunch, 80s on 8, Motown Friday. In seconds, you get to vote. And our brilliant review of this week's television show, This Is Us. Now, stuff your parents did that would get them arrested today at 888-688-WALT. Mary from WPHT in Philadelphia. The ghost of Frank Rizzo haunts us. Welcome, Mary.
Hello. When we first moved to New Jersey, it was sort of country. One section of the town was built up and older, and the other one was just starting to be built up. We had woods in the front and either side and in the back, and a little dirt road. Of course, it completely changed. But the kids would all take their ice skates and go back to the creek. It would freeze over. I don't know what they would do to you nowadays. But and then the little dog that we had, the gate would open. He'd follow them, and they're ice skating back there, and the boys are speed skating, and the little dog sliding across the ice and all without a leash. I don't know what they would do.
No leash. No leash. Unsupervised pond. Oh, my gosh. Which town in Jersey, Mary?
That was Belmore.
That was Belmore.
That was like in 1951.
I'm telling you, Mary, you'd all be in jail. Thanks very much for calling Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. And now another Mary from Adams County, Ohio. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Sterling.
Hello.
I'm not calling for myself. I'm calling for all the recovering Catholics because I'm almost 60 years old. My mother used to beat us severely with anything from the metal end of a fly swatter to wooden spoons to sticks, and she beat us so severely, and my sister would taunt her, and I would get between us. And then when my father would come home, he would beat us with a belt.
All right, Mary, thanks very much for calling at 888-688-WALT. It's a horrible story, and stories about corporal punishment for kids are the worst stories, and I'm glad that they would be arrested today, and I know you are too. All right, this is Sterling on Sunday. If you and I want to stay in touch during the week, we can. Here's my email address. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Next week, I'm going to have a new email address, and it's going to be very special because, you see, they refuse to give me an email address because they're afraid of IT. There's some problem with IT and me being a non-employee. Now, the check says Westwood One. The check of an employee says Westwood One. I have to say this is Westwood One going into each break. I have a podcast. It's called Old Dad. And I get to talk about my 5-year-old, my 12-year-old, and my 14-year-old from the perspective of being an old dad like George Clooney. In fact, I look exactly like George Clooney. And on that podcast, I say distributed by Westwood One. Because that's what I'm supposed to do. I say I'm distributed by Westwood One. But can I have a Westwood One business card? No! Can I have a Westwood One email? Oh, God forbid! Oh, Sarbanes-Oxley! Oh, no! Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to Sam Greenfield, and we're going to have our special review of the television show This Is Us. You don't get this anyplace else. Sterling on Sunday, Westwood One.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
When the world should all be sleeping and the melody comes creeping till you want to sway, it's a milkman's matinee. If you hear a band a swinging and you hear somebody singing, it's no cabaret, it's a milkman's matinee. That's the time the Sandman hasn't got a chance, although baby it's late. Cupid wakes and looks around for new romance while the milkmen syncopate. Down the Milky Way each morning, dance your cares away till dawning. Everything's great, eh? At the milkman's matinee.
The original all-night music show. Don't take out the music. Leave it there. That was the theme of the original all-night music show. The first disc jockey show that was overnight. It was on WNEW AM in New York. It was hosted by a man named Stan Shaw. I've waited my whole life to play that late at night. It's amazing. It's by the Modernaires when they had big themes for radio shows, as there should be. The guy would read a commercial. He'd say hello to David Marchesano and Mr. Sneakers, and then they'd come back in right here.
Down the Milky Way each morning, dance your cares away till dawning. Everything's great, eh? The Modern Airs are singing and Les Brown's swinging at the milkman. The milkman's matinee.
I asked the greatest program director in history, George Gilbert, why it was that disc jockeys were less and less important. And he said, because they stopped making name jingles. There used to be jingles that sang disc jockeys' names, and there are very few of those anymore. Hello, Amanda Benson, Mr. Sneakers, David Marchesano, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Rebecca Canner, welcome. Dennis Cole, Frankie Reds, these are the Midnight Misfits, and you finally belong. Finally, you and I belong, because people who work at this time are not normal. And we're ostracized, and we're not celebrated, we're not promoted, we're not paid more for the differential. And this last night was a particular hell for people working overnight because it was supposed to be 8 hours, and all of a sudden it became 9. My greatest vision of hell is to be on a country station overnights, and I hit fall back, and instead of it being a 6-hour show, I'm suffering with a 7-hour show, and that actually happened to me, except it was a top 40 station. It was WOLF in Syracuse, and I did overnights, midnight to 6, except this one day, last night, it was 7 hours with no commercials and no news. Oh, my gosh. Have you seen that TV show, This Is Us? Have you watched that show? Well, we have a very special review of it.
Lessons learned on this week's TV show, This Is Us.
Now a special summary of this week's television show, This Is Us.
I want your candy.
But Kate, you can't have any more candy. You've eaten most of the candy from every other kid on the show.
I want to hold this boy's hand in the haunted house because he has the most candy.
I'll make a sleazy deal with him so he'll hold your hand.
Screw the hand, I want his candy. I'm 10, no time for love, I want the candy.
But you'll get very, very fat if all you eat is candy.
But then I could grow up to be a profound character on a hit TV show.
Meanwhile, at the hardware store.
I must get a new ceiling fan at the hardware store. Run by this man wearing a turban. He seems knowing.
Lordy, 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 how many times are you going to break the ceiling fan, Randall?
But you see, I'm blind from all the stress.
Stress? You don't know from stress. I have to wear this turban because my wife is turned on by Steve Van Zandt.
Who?
That's what everyone asks. I'm born in the USA. That is your clue.
I just need a new ceiling fan, and how can I find happiness? You seem wise because you're wearing a turban. How do I find happiness?
She goes by that name, Happiness. She is at the airport bar, at the Trenton Airport. She'll clean out your pipes for sure.
Next time on Now You Know, This Is Us.
I like the giant bags of marshmallows. Give me all of your Reese's, baby.
This unusual summary of the TV show This Is Us is a reminder. Know who your brother is. Keep your candy close and your children at a distance. Please don't do the electric slide. This show is not affiliated with Peter Bolger in any way, and your comments are unwelcome.
Mr. Weinstein, what are your plans now?
I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink.
Now, Walter Sterling presents a great talk show host who should be working.
Sam Greenfield is a great talk show host who should be working. The first time I heard Sam Greenfield, he was on WWRL in New York City, and he was unique because he was funny. He was funny. All these talk show hosts, they're so serious. They were out to save the world. They're going to build orphanages in Guatemala and Niger, where Sam Greenfield understood what a talk show is supposed to do is to be entertaining. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, Sam. Hi.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
Now, Sam has some very distinguishing characteristics. Number one, he's a great talk show host. He should be working full-time. He shouldn't be doing this. He shouldn't be doing saving the world nonsense. He understands that being a talk show host is to be entertaining. He has three amazing accomplishments. Number one, he was on Cash Cab. Have you seen that TV show, Cash Cab? I'll explain it in just seconds. He was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And he has secret backstage stories of that. But first, I want Sam Greenfield to tell us, as a talk show host, was there a story this week that intrigued you personally, Sam?
I think the story that intrigued me the most is it's an ongoing story because it seems like every 6 weeks there's a tragic shooting. And this time it was in Texas, which has very liberal, when I say liberal, I mean very open gun laws. And it was once again in a church. It was in a place where you wouldn't suspect someone would ever perpetrate violence on someone. And I believe the pastor's 14-year-old daughter was murdered. And what we're going to hear is, let's keep these people in our thoughts and prayers. They're going to wipe up the blood, and that'll be the end of it. And I'm intrigued because I want to know what it's going to take for people to say, yes, you can have a gun to hunt. Yes, you can have a gun in your house if you know how to take care of it. But no, you shouldn't have an AK-47. No, you shouldn't be allowed to walk into a 7-Eleven with a gun that practically comes up to your shoulder from your ankle. I mean, you know, how bad is the coffee at 7-Eleven that you have to carry an Uzi? Just say it seems warm. You don't have to do this.
And what's your solution to this, Sam?
Well, my solution is that somebody from the right side of the political fence, because it can't be someone from the left, because someone from the left is going to be lecturing you. And you know, people who own guns, you know, legal, rightful gun owners, they just love being lectured by someone on the left who's never owned or operated any kind of gun in their life, ever. It has to be someone on the right. It has to be someone like the singer, the musician in the band in Vegas, who had a duck for cover when those people were killed in Vegas, who said, listen, I'm a gun owner and I've always been, but now I can't, you know, I can't agree with them anymore. But it has to be someone, and this young man was, you know, brave for saying that, but it has to be someone who's more important than that. It has to be. And until that happens, this isn't going to stop. It's not going to stop because people have been misled into thinking. I remember when Clinton was elected, they said, oh, they're going to come in and take your guns. They're going to come in. So people, what did people do? They bought more guns. And when Obama was elected, oh, you know, this guy's going to take your guns. They not only bought more guns, they bought more ammunition. No one took their guns. No one came into their house and took their guns. I'm at a loss to understand two parts of the things that conservatives sometimes peddle. One is, you know, from my cold dead hands about the guns, that people that haven't come to the realization that these guns aren't essential or necessary or useful for anything but killing other people. And the other one is about taxes, but that, you know, it's your money. You know, it's $1,000. It's your money. Well, yeah, for, you know, Gary Cohn, the guy who's one of Trump's economic advisors, he said, you know, you could take that $1,000 and you could redecorate your, you could redo your kitchen. I don't know if Gary's met any contractors, but $1,000 won't get you a nice sink. I don't know where he's from.
$1,000 won't get you the paint job. This is Sam Greenfield, who's one of the best talk show hosts in America, who is not working as a talk show host. Instead, he's looking for a job full-time as a talk show host, and he should be. And by the way, you're in good company. Last week we had on Alex Bennett.
Wow.
We've had on Casey Bartholomew, Gary Arnell, and Ed Till. Now, just imagine if I had a radio network and it featured Sam Greenfield, who's on the phone with me right now on Sterling on Sunday, Casey Bartholomew, Gary Arnell, Alex freaking Bennett, and Ed Till, I'd have a dominant radio station. And all these so-called program directors go, well, gee, where can we find some people who have a different point of view, who aren't conservative or who, you know, won't just talk about politics? Hello, I have a long list. Attention, I have a long list. Now, very important in Sam Greenfield's background is you were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Is that right?
I was. I sure was.
How did you do, and how was the experience different than we might imagine?
I won $100,000, and it was fun. The thing that you don't get a sense of, there's no way you could. The thing you don't get a sense of when you're listening to it on TV, or watching it, I should say, on TV, is how focused I can't speak for other people, how focused I became. The screen where the questions are in front of you, I mean, the audience sees it like almost in a stationary, Chiron kind of thing. The questions are on a fairly large, very, very terrifically put together high-def screen. And the entire studio is pitch dark except for that screen and the spotlight that was on the host, Meredith Vieira. There are certain things that you never learn. For example, when I was told I might be a contestant. They sent me an attachment through my computer of 40 pages of questions I had to answer. I don't mean things like where were you born, but things like, yeah, for Meredith Vieira to ask me. And it turned out she kept asking me the same, you know, I was on 2 days. She asked me the same question. Sam, do you play the millionaire game at home? Which, because they were trying to, you know, promote that game. When you're finished, when you finish your time on the show, you go into a room that is literally a circle of about five square feet. It's a circle, and it's got like one of those European shower rings with a black velvet curtain around it, and in comes this lawyer. and this woman sat down with me and explained to me, the only thing I remember her saying, because I just won $100,000, the only thing I remember her saying was, you can't tell anyone how you did on this show until the show airs.
Sam Greenfield is going to tell us more about Millionaire in just seconds. Plus, he was on Cash Cab. Have you seen Cash Cab? The way Cash Cab works is amazing based on what Sam Greenfield has to tell us. Plus, I will share with you news about an airline that's going to make us get weighed in before we get on the flight. All of that and you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday, and this is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Sundays. That's why it doesn't sound like Thursday afternoon. Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, Sam Greenfield. Good evening from Westwood One. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. And Sam Greenfield, if you want to be a full-time talk show host, you're going to have to explain a mystery to us, which is, what the hell is Bitcoin? What the hell is Bitcoin?
Bitcoin is a transactional currency that does not use a central bank. It has its own accounting system, its own transactional currency. There is no paper currency. There is no actual coin currency. It is being used by millions of people in all around the world. There's a Bitcoin wallet where you actually keep it. You can buy anything. You can sell anything. That countries are now getting involved in it because of taxes and because they have no control over it. It's literally like an outlaw currency. It's not illegal, but it's like an outlaw currency that only exists on the internet, that only exists in the cloud.
It only exists in people's imagination. It sounds like all my Jersey instincts go up and like, no way, there's no way in heck. Now, more importantly, Sam Greenfield, here's a question for you. Do you want to work full-time as a talk show host on the radio?
Oh, sure I do. Absolutely.
All right, so what you're going to do is send me an email about the best way to get a hold of you, and I will post it on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page, because you are a great talk show host, Sam Greenfield.
Well,
you are great talk show host. It's an honor to have you on with me. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I appreciate you being here. Thank you very much, Sam. Finnair has begun weighing passengers. You ready? Finnair has just begun a new program where it weighs passengers before takeoff to help the Finnish airline collect more accurate data on the weights of people in flight. Really? Because everybody I've been next to on American Airlines or United who's taken up two seats, I'm not even allowed to complain about that. But now Finnair is going to weigh you before you get on the plane. Wow. All right, coming up in just seconds, we're going to have 80s on 8 or Motown Friday or Brady Bunch Brunch. That'll be up to you at 888-688-WALT. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, and this is Westwood One.
Mr. Advertiser, your endorsement goes here.
Hi, I'm Gary Arnell, and I have hand-selected these stories and approved them for the Walter M. Sterling program.
A Nebraska man has been sentenced to 4 years in prison for sending prostitutes to strip on his neighbor's front porch dozens of times over a three-year period. The Omaha World Journal reports a 45-year-old man was sentenced Friday in Douglas County District Court after pleading no contest in September to pandering. Authorities say this guy hired prostitutes to bare their breasts and strip on his neighbor's porch while he watched from his house. Well, he wanted to keep an eye on his investment. The family with two small children reported that women had shown up as many as 75 times since 2013, exposing themselves and sometimes kicking the door and yelling for payment. He was also indicted in federal court for possession of other things. But, I mean, really, a guy sends strippers to his neighbor's front yard porch. I would just say thank you. A doctor has urged other women to break up with any partners who criticize their vaginas after sharing her own personal experience with a nasty fella. Dr. Jen Gunter spoke out after commenting on recent reports that women have been using Vicks Vapor Rub to cleanse their vaginas. Writing on her blog, the Canadian gynecologist slammed the ridiculous trend before revealing that she had previously broken up with a man who had criticized her privates. She said, "For what I am sure is the 100th time, the vagina needs no cleaning, and the vulva needs very little." (888-688-WALT) Well, now you get, it's time for you to choose. Do you want the Brady Bunch brunch, 80s on 8, or Motown Friday? You decide. First caller who calls in decides. Brady Bunch brunch, 80s on 8, Motown Friday. You decide. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I find this climate debate, whether or not it's getting hotter or colder, to be hysterical because no one seems to know for sure. There's a brilliant broadcaster named John Coleman, a real broadcaster. He was the founder of the Weather Channel. He goes on CNN. They want him on with the current CEO of the Weather Channel. The current CEO of the Weather Channel says, climate change is real. We're causing the climate to get warmer. John Coleman, who's an actual meteorologist, says it's a lot of nonsense. This is John Coleman going on CNN to say that climate change is a lot of nonsense. It's hysterical. Resume all.
First, let me bring in John Coleman. He's in San Diego this morning. Thank you for being here.
It's nice to be on CNN. Hello to all your viewers. I resent you calling me a denier. That is a word meant to put me down. I'm a skeptic about climate change, and I want to make it darn clear, Mr. Kenney's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
Now, hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney, and yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform, and I regret it's become political instead of scientific, but the science is on my side.
I love him. John Coleman bashing the crap out of CNN's anchor about climate change.
There's a whole lot of baloney.
Oh, we love you, John Coleman.
There's a whole lot of baloney.
All right, should it be Brady Bunch Brunch, Motown Friday, or 80s on 8? Lori from WMAL, hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Turn down your radio. It's nice to talk to you.
Okay.
Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
My.
Lori, thank you for calling from WMAL land. Hi.
Hi. I'd have to say 80s on 8.
Congratulations, Lori. You win. Here's 80s on 8 on Sterling on Sunday. It's Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And Billy from 1210 WPHT, you're on Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Billy.
Wonderful show. Wonderful show again. And, yes, I used to listen to Casey Bartholomew on 101.5 all the time back in the day.
Yes.
And, hey, what do you think? If anybody that had a national radio talk show voice, it would be me, right? I doubt it, though.
Now, Billy, that's just... How? Yes, what'd you do? Do you have kids, Billy?
Yes. Yeah, I have a 10 and a 12-year-old. The boy is 10 and the daughter is 12.
Now, what the heck did you do with them at Halloween?
Well, I go above and beyond to make my son the best Halloween for the parade. He never gets a trick-or-treating it because he was R2-D2 that I made out of aluminum flashing. He was a 25-foot tape measure 1 year. He was a wood stove 1 year, and... then he was the Red Baron Snoopy, and this past year he wanted to be a UPS truck, and he was a UPS truck, and all handmade and built by Jad.
How did you do the UPS truck?
Go ahead.
How'd you do the UPS truck? How'd you make that? What'd that look like?
The light foam board that you get at the hardware store, it was 3/4-inch thick, and I taped and glued it, but I actually rent a garage out to a body shop, and they actually did the UPS paint in the paint booth for it, so it came out pretty well.
Did you dress up?
No, I went as a miserable, you know, American standard.
I'm very glad to hear you say that, because I think it's insane when adults dress up for Halloween. I think the cutoff should be at about 16. That's it. When I see adults dressed up for Halloween, I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, I really don't get it. And I'm cursed with my daughter. I'm sure you know this, at the age where they have to be a little too risque in their costumes. This tween.
How did she dress? Wait. How'd she dress again?
Like the Mad Hatter. You know, with the skirt and too much makeup and all that crap.
Oh, with
the little top hat on.
Yeah, with the Mad Hatter skirt. How short was the skirt, Dad?
It was just to the knee.
Was that a fight?
I said, well, you better... Mom didn't even tell me. I said, well, I got home and that's what that was. I said, well, you know, it's between you two. Whatever. I just live here.
Hey, thanks very much for listening, and thanks for calling. I appreciate it, Billy.
Doctor, thank you very much.
Doctor, we're grateful to you, Billy, and all of the state of New Jersey. Thanks very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday on WPHT, programmed by the brilliant Jared Hart, who doesn't give me enough credit for anything. Welcome, Rosemary Furlong, Martin Connors, Neil Paul. Welcome, Fred Werzer. These are our Midnight Misfits. If you would like a Midnight Misfit membership card, here's what you got to do. You send me an email to WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, with your real mail address, and we'll mail you one, and it's going to have a secret decoder on it that will enable you to win prizes in the future. Coming up in just seconds, I've got more amazing stuff for you on Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Get closer to Walter than ever before. Brand new podcast ready now. Download from iTunes. Download Old Dad. Old Dad on iTunes.
All right, it's 4 minutes past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling. And let me tell you for 2 seconds about who the heck I am, because I know that for many of you, I'm new, but I've been on WPHT in Philadelphia for 4 years. That's because management was paying no attention. But before that, I was a suit. I was a guy who ran media companies. I ran a media consultancy. I wore a suit. And every day I hated the job more. I loved the work. I loved making great radio, great magazines, great newspapers. I loved all that. But I hated the job. And progressively, that maybe you can relate to this, the job progressively was filling out forms and dealing with SOX compliance. How come the SOX compliant law did not apply to the guys who ran Lehman Brothers into the ground and destroyed our economy? How come it didn't apply to them? You're worried about my business cards and my emails about SOX compliance and my ID cards, but the Lehman Brothers guys, they walked free. How come that's so? Because I had to put up every day, I had to put up with more and more crap from corporate finance, corporate legal, HR, my favorites, HR. That, more than anything else, is what's hurt our economy, is the initiative to try something new, to be brave, unique, innovative. That's been destroyed by things like Dodd-Frank and SOX compliance and all those rules and those forms and HR. That's what's killing us. Because then, God help you if you try something new in corporate America. God help you if you try something new at work. Oh, you are Satan. You're just freaking Satan at that point. Am I right? 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. 888-688. I'm almost as angry as the cake boss.
Listen, this cake is for my cousin and my sister-in-law. Okay, you guys build it like my, you know what? It looks like crap. I'm busy working on this cake. What do I gotta babysit?
What do I gotta do, babysit?
Listen, this cake is for my cousin and my sister-in-law. Okay, you guys build it like my, you know what? It looks like crap. I'm busy working on this cake. What do I gotta babysit?
But what I don't understand with Cake Boss is they always seem to have the same problem. It seems to be a very manageable problem on Cake Boss, but it's always the same problem.
And now, secret unedited recordings of the making of Cake-Hoss. The story of a bakery no one has ever heard of in Hoboken or Jersey City or someplace. As we enter the scene, a lot of people are yelling.
But the customer said the baby had to be born inside the cake and then crawl out.
Yeah, we've done that before. Do they want fireworks?
Yes, fireworks coming out of the baby's butt when the cake is revealed.
It's time to load it into the truck.
Oh, no, it won't fit in the truck.
It won't fit in the truck.
The entire cake won't fit in the truck.
It never fits in the truck, morons.